Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Continue our Faith Life series tonight. Amen. You know, through the end of this year, which is almost here, that we're going to be doing this on Wednesdays. I'm looking forward to it, but also looking forward to the beginning of a new year. Anybody looking forward to beginning a new year? And in January, on Wednesday nights, Pastor Debbie will be doing a prayer series that I'm looking forward to. We should be excited about that. And but until then, we're going to be, through the rest of this year, Wednesdays that we have, be continue this series. And you know, by now you probably realize that and know just how important faith is to your life. In other words, your faith in God. Because we're told four times in the scripture, once in the Old Testament, three times in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith. Amen. And therefore, the exhortation for the believer to learn to live this new way of life. It's a life of faith. You know, we have to learn how to live again. You know, one of the great things about the local church, it is a school that you go to that teaches you how to relearn how to live again, and you don't graduate till you die. And so we should be learning how to live this faith life. And really, this faith life is a life of trust in faith in God, which has both its beginning and ending in the Word of God. Because how many know that's how faith comes? It originates and is perfected. That's why Jesus, while the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so we'll be looking at, through the end of this year, various things that we need to learn and know about faith. But where we currently are at in the series and what we are addressing is actually real life issues and problems that we all face. As believers, we will face, Jesus said, in the world you will experience tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So we have to learn to overcome it in Him, and that means we overcome it, we win in life's, over life's issues and problems by our faith, and we find the answers from God's Word to do that. So we've looked at various issues that we all deal with, and we are going to look at what I've told you is the last issue and problem that we will address in this series, and it is called what is known as the flesh. We all have the flesh to deal with, and so back in October the 16th was the last time that I taught on this. We've had several things that went on Wednesday nights, but this the last time, the first time, the last time I've taught on this, the flesh, was then. And I entitled it Winning Over the Flesh, and I think it would do us all well, maybe if you didn't hear that, especially to go back and listen to that again. But tonight we're going to continue where we left off, looking at that. And if you've taken notes, like many of you do so well, you could call the message tonight Faith Over Flesh. Amen. And so if we're going to win over the flesh with our faith, we need to define what the flesh is. Because one of the things that we have to realize, not just because I'm the pastor, I should realize this. We as believers should realize this. If we want to help people, there's a lot of terms that are scriptural, that are simple to us to understand. But you got to realize that people that you talk to about the things of God, they may not have the foggiest idea of a meaning of some of the simple things that you actually know. And as well in a congregation, a healthy congregation, we should have people that are new to the Lord here, and we have should have people that could teach people the same thing I'm teaching tonight. So in that, I say that to say this, we cannot assume that everybody knows what we know, and we have to be, in order to help them, it's one thing to talk about the flesh, but it doesn't do us any good if we don't know what we mean by that. So I want to start by defining that again so we're all on the same page, okay? So although the word flesh, you'll find many times in the through the scripture, although there's other ways in the scripture that it's used, its primary uses and meaning is it speaks of the natural or the physical human body that we all have. How many know we all have a human body? And the Bible many times refers to that as your flesh. Amen. The natural or the physical human body one has. But actually, to add to that, the flesh is any part of the unregenerate man or part of you that's not saved yet. So when I say unregenerate, that just means it hasn't been touched by salvation. It hasn't been changed by salvation. Amen. And so unregenerate, your flesh is unregenerate. It's part of the unregenerate man. And so I explained this last time, but I think it's really good that we talk about this again. What we must understand is that our spirits have been saved, past tense. Or you could say it, your spirit is already saved. If you are a child of God and you've been born again, your spirit is saved, present tense, and really has already been saved, past tense. If you're, so that's what we need to understand. Your spirit is saved, your soul, amen, is being saved. Amen. And your soul is being saved through the renewing of your mind. When I say your soul, I'm talking about your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotion. Okay? And we know this because Romans 12:2 tells us that we're to renew our minds, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, let's look at this scripture verse in James chapter 1, in verse 21. It says, I should be reading this probably from another translation, but I forgot to do that, so I will read it from the King James Version. Therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Amen. And so notice, in other words, what it's saying is that we have to do something with our mind. When we receive the word of God and exchange our way of thinking for God's way of thinking, we are in the process of mind renewal or the saving of our soul. Now, I know a lot of times people, say that if a person came to the altar, their soul got saved. You know, generally speaking, that is, you could say that's an accurate statement. But specifically speaking, their spirits is what got saved. Okay? Now, we all understand when you say a soul got saved. But what I want us to understand is the scripture actually says your spirit being born again is what got saved. Your soul is being saved. And it's only saved through renewing of your mind. As long as you live in this earth, it will be a continual process to renew your mind. It's a lifelong process until you get to heaven, because your mind stays no more renewed than your hair stays combed. Okay? So we need to understand that. And then last but not least, your body will be saved. So as spirits are saved upon salvation, our mind or our soul is being saved, and our bodies will be saved. They'll be completely changed. You know when that's going to happen? At the resurrection. Going to be completely changed at the resurrection when we receive our glorified bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 50, verse 50 and 53 reads like this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, your natural body, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Right now this body is called corruption. When we have a glorified body, it'll put on incorruption. It'll be perfect. Amen. Verse 53 goes on to say, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So the point is that we understand that our bodies will be saved or will be changed upon the resurrection. This means, simply put, that we have an inward man and an outward man. Okay? So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says it like this, for which cause we do not faint, we don't give up, we don't fret about this, though our outward man perishes. Your outward man is your flesh. Is your flesh. The inward man is renewed day by day. So the inward man is actually your spirit. It's renewed day by day. Amen. And so we could say like this, what we have to understand, there's two parts of us that's still being worked on. Our souls, our mind, and our bodies. Can I get amen? Amen. They are being changed. Praise God. And so we know that we're a three-part being, so two-thirds of us is still a work in progress. And two-thirds of us is identified in the Scripture as part of the flesh. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says that Paul said it like this, may the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the flesh is the part of you, and I'm saying every Christian, because this would not be true concerning the world, because you have to be born again for this to be true. The flesh is the part of you, every Christian, that will actually, the unregenerate man, that's all he has. He's lost, so all of him is lost. What I'm getting at is that for the Christian, the believer, his inward man is new, but the part of you, the flesh, as a Christian that isn't saved yet, because it's still unregenerate, is your soul and your body. And I don't want us to understand why that's so important. That's why we must be born again. And we must understand that in our soul, there's nothing the matter with you. And in your body, you still have the fallen nature. You don't have a fallen nature in your spirit. You have the life and nature of God. But you still have a fallen nature in your body. That's why Romans chapter 6 calls it the man or the body of sin. So don't freak out about this. I'm telling you how to win over it. Okay? And so what we have to understand is this part of our minds and bodies, we must do something about. This is why the Bible is so clear that the flesh is the part of you that still has the fallen nature in it, your soul and body. That you are told, and I am told by God, that we will have to do something with. We'll have to renew our minds, and we'll have to control our bodies and win over them. But there's a way to do that. And so here's the great point I'm trying to bring to pass here. Without understanding your flesh, your soul and body, when you don't understand what has happened in you, your spirit, soul, and body, when you don't understand your three-part being, your spirit is saved. It's perfectly new. Has the life and nature of God. But your soul and your body still has the fallen nature in it. That's why your mind has to be renewed, changed, to think like God thinks. Because if you think wrong, you believe wrong. If you think and believe wrong, you act wrong. And this is why your body, it still has a fallen nature in it. That's why it's called the body of sin. And it's why you have to crucify it. That's why you have to do something with it. You have to put your body under. Amen. And the Bible makes it clear how we do that, and that's what I want to address. But if we do not understand this, I believe this is why so many young believers, where they understand that they think that something's the matter with them, because they'll find out that they still, your flesh will still want to do the same nasty things you did before you got saved. If you listen to it. Because your mind will go back down, the devil will use that to go back down to those same old patterns and those same triggers that you had before that kept you in bondage. The point is, when your flesh and your soul is left unchecked, unchanged, it will cause you to live a confused and a defeated Christian life. Because the average Christian, without knowing that their bodies are not saved and their minds are certainly not, they can allow the devil to come in and convince them there's something wrong with them. Maybe they're not saved. Maybe they don't have enough faith. What is wrong with them that they're tempted in these areas like they were before? And, for a while, they may be able to cover that up. But sooner or later, not only will they live a confused life, but they'll be defeated. Because without understanding, you have to live from the inside out. This Christian life is all about turning the man on the inside and causing what's on the inside to be lived out on the outside. It's called a metamorphosis. And we're changed, or through the renewing of our mind, it's like that ugly caterpillar turns into the beautiful butterfly. The life that's transformed is the one that knows the word and does the word. In other words, their mind has been renewed to the word of God, and they begin to live by the word of God. And that means they do something with this body. They don't let this body do what it wants to do. And they don't fret because this body will still want to do some of the wrong things. If you will do the right thing that the scripture says, you can cut off the life of the flesh, and you can cut off that wrong thinking, and it won't be stronger than your inner man. But if we understand that we're to build up the inner man, how to do that? Through the meditation of the Word of God, putting the Word of God in, and even building ourselves up on the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Being conscious that God lives on the inside of us. Being conscious that I have a new nature. That I am made in the likeness and the image of God. My mind ain't and my body ain't, but my spirit is. And it has the life, the nature, and the power of God, and I from to live from the inside out. Hallelujah. That's what God is trying to do. He's trying to turn us inside out. You know, you men, some of you, you know, I'm very careful when I take off my socks, because I know Pastor Debbie washes my clothes. And even though she don't complain, I think I might complain if I was washing my clothes and I took off my socks all the time and just did it carelessly. And you know, it's easy to take off your socks and you turn them inside out. Larry, why are you going like this to Tammy? No, I'm just messing with you, bro. I'm just messing with you, bro. Amen. So, you know, you turn them. And if I ever do that, I always turn them back, okay? Well, the point that I'm getting to let you know, there's something on the inside that God wants on the outside. He wants what's on the inside to control what's on the outside. Hallelujah. And so but if in order for to do that, you got to know what's on the inside. You got to know that you're a new creature in Christ. Amen. And so, hallelujah, we don't have to live confused or defeated Christian life. We got to put first things first. This is why I hope you never get tired of hearing it, but Romans 12, 1 and 2 may be the most critical thing that you and I, the very first, put first things first. This is what the Bible tells us we got to do in order to be winning over the flesh. Here's what it says, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You present you. You and your body is two different things there. You and your body is two different things. You is the spirit. Your body is different. Notice it called you and your body two different things. You present your bodies. Your spiritually, you have to present your body as a living sacrifice. In other words, you don't let your body do what it wants to do. Things that get laid on the altar get killed. In other words, we're going to find out later tonight, the Bible says you have to mortify the deeds of your body. That means when your body wants to do something wrong, you have to put it to death. You have to put that to death, that thing. You have to put that thing. You have to lay it on the altar and say, no, I don't do that anymore. That's not a part of my life anymore. That becomes, your body becomes a living sacrifice. Your body becomes, your life becomes a living sacrifice unto God. When you say to the, you say no to the works of the flesh, and there's a whole list of them in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. The works of the flesh are, whole list of them. Okay, but the good news is right after it lists the works of the flesh, there's the fruit of the Spirit. So what's on the inside, if it is the love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, and self-control, and self-control. It comes from the inside that we have power on the outside. So we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. One translation says your worshipful act of service to God. You know, we think raising our hands, that it is, singing songs, it is, worshiping God. But God says every time you don't let your body do what it wants to do, that says that if God says it's wrong to do something and your body says, well, I've been used to doing that, so, you know, I'll get away with it, you know, or it won't hurt me. That's what Adam thought too. But we're all in the mess because we're all in the same mess in the same boat. And never think that what we do just affects us. Amen. So God says, he goes on, he says, we do something with our bodies. And then, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. We want a transformed life. How? By the renewing of our mind. So we actually change our way of thinking for God's way of thinking. If God says something wrong, is wrong in his word, and we're doing it, a renewed mind finds out what God says and then agrees with God and changes what he once did. Our minds aren't renewed until we do what the Word says. It's not enough to know what the Word says. It's doing what the Word says. That's how we know where our mind is renewed. Knowing and doing. And that's how life is transformed, by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will. By renewing our mind, that's what you find out. What is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God? That's what we live by. That's what we're to live by, the will of God. And that's what a renewed mind does. It lines itself up with the will of God so we can get what God's word says. Amen. So first things first. Now look at Romans chapter 8, verse 13, if you would, with me tonight. It says, for if we live after the flesh. Now once again, the flesh is the unregenerate part of you. That means, and for our case, it will be the unrenewed mind and a unchecked body. This flesh and an unrenewed mind. This body doing what it wants to do and this mind thinking the wrong things it wants to think. If we live after the flesh, that means if we practice the things of the flesh, you shall die. In other words, that means that will produce spiritual death in your life. Spiritual death is separation from God. This is how serious it is. We can't play with sin and think it's not going to burn us. That's what we have to understand. We have to fear God more than we do anything else. The reason people just think they can get away with and because judgment is delayed, the book of Ecclesiastes warns about because judgment delayed. We don't think that it's not that big of a deal or God, God's not looking or maybe God is not real. But the reason that God is always slow concerning all these things is He's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any of us should perish. He's not rejoicing to judge us. He's rejoicing that His mercy triumphs over judgment, and He's waiting for us to repent and change. Because if we practice and live after, if we live this way, we shall die. It's not maybe. If we live this way, we shall die. If we live after the flesh, so look at it. In Galatians chapter 5, if we live after those works of the flesh, if we are practicing those things on an ongoing basis, we shall die. That's what the scripture says. Okay. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. See, we got to understand, if we're conscious that as spirits are made new and we're the righteous God in Christ and we have the Holy Ghost in us and we're working to build ourselves up in on our most holy faith, and allowing what's on the inside to put to death what's coming against us on the outside. It's important for us to realize the truth that this is conveying to us. It says, if we live after the flesh, that means according to the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, one translation says, the help and the aid of the Holy Spirit, do put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. There is no way that you can say the Holy Ghost doesn't warn us and don't say that's wrong. If God lives in you, the Holy Ghost, once you get knowledge of the things of God, the Holy Ghost is going to help you know not only is wrong, but the Holy Ghost is going to help you put that to death. It's going to help you to say, no, I got power over you. There is no sin that's got more power than the Christian whose heart is right with God. Now, you can still will to do something, and there are times, let's be sure about it, that you will make a mistake. That doesn't mean you're practicing it or that you're going to die and go to hell. But what it means is that we have to realize we can't trust that flesh any farther than it can. We can throw it. If we miss it, we got to get back under the graces of God. Run to Him, not run from Him. But the point is, we don't have to lose because our bodies and our minds aren't perfect yet. We do something with our bodies and our minds. We do something with the flesh. And the Bible says that it's through the Holy Spirit that we do put to death. That's what the word mortify. The deeds of the body. He says, when you do that, you shall live. You just got to say no to it. You got to talk to your body. You're going to say, no, I'm not doing that, devil. I'm not doing that. Hallelujah. Tell it no. Well, I don't know if I... Listen, talk to it. Say no. No, this is not part of my life anymore. It is only by understanding who we are in Christ. This is why this is so important. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm a new creature. It's only by understanding who we are in Christ, and verse 21 says, that same chapter, we have not only been made the new creature in Christ, but we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And let me just tell you this. Did you know you can live righteously? You know why you can live righteous? Because you can live righteously because you are righteous. See, so many of us are trying to work to be righteous. No, you've received the gift of righteousness. The reason we can live righteously is because we are righteous. We are. That's our nature now. We have that. You had to fight from that place. That you are, you fight from the victory and with the victory, not to get the victory. With the victory is knowing you are a new creature in Christ, a new creature in Christ. One translation says, the Christian is not a man altered, but a man remade. You know, if you alter your pants or dress, you still have the same dress The same pants you had before the altar. The difference is you altered them. God said we were so messed up we couldn't be altered. We had to be remade. And the good news is we are remade, baby. We are new and we are righteous and we have the life of God. That's why we have the strength and the power of God to resist the other parts of us that are not made right yet. God gave us what we need to win. And it is living in light of this and walking by faith in this and yielding to the Holy Spirit's power that we win over the flesh. Because the Holy Spirit is going to lead you in the victory. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you in the victory. And He's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Amen. Unto deliverance, unto victory, to everyone that believes. The new life of Christ within your spirit and the power that the Holy Spirit is present in your life gives you total victory over the flesh and gives you power to say no to the flesh. That means the wrong thoughts and the wrong feelings that your body or habits that your body wants to revert back to. To have faith over the flesh, we've got to understand that Satan uses our flesh against us. Do you know that? He uses your flesh against you. The Bible calls it the lust of the flesh. The word lust means strong desire. And so actually in the Greek New Testament, that word is the same Greek word, but what we have to understand is it means strong desire. It's not always negative. When we hear the word lust, we actually think about something sinful. But actually in the New Testament, depending upon the context that it's in, it's the word that you have to define what that means, what it's used for. So really, lust means a strong desire, but the lust of the flesh is what we don't want to have. That means a strong desire, this is why the Bible calls it like this: to be carnally minded is death. It's called the lust of the flesh. It means strong desire, but the wrong ones, the ones that are against God's order or against His word. So what Satan does is he uses 2/3 of us against us. That's what he does. He uses the lust of the strong desires of our flesh against us. Let's look at the scripture that talks about this, or scripture that talk about this, so we're aware of what he uses against us. There ain't nothing matter with you because you have a wrong thought or you have a wrong feeling. You just have to do something about it. Not freak out by it, but do something about it. Not let the devil talk you into condemnation that there's something the matter with you or you're whatever. But know where it's coming from and learn how to address it and win over it. And once you learn that, then those things will be easily recognizable and there will be less and less. James, did I tell you to turn to James chapter 1? Okay, James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Here's what it says. Let no man say when he is tempted, everybody say tempted, that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. God doesn't tempt us, but who does? Satan, he's called the tempter. Verse 14 goes on and said, but every man, that means woman too, every person is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Own lust, own desire. So in other words, listen to me, your flesh and your mind has some wrong desires. Without it being checked by the Word of God and put in check by the Word of God, your mind, now because you've been saved so long and you've renewed your mind and you controlled your body, that's not a big deal to most of you in a lot of areas, and you've forgotten that's how it was. But I can tell you that's how it still is. And the moment you stop renewing your mind and stop presenting your body, you'll find out it's showing back up on the door. Because it's still there. It's called the flesh. Every man is tempted to be drawn away in his own lust. Not the devil's. His own lust and desire. That means your flesh has some wrong desires. Get over it. You got power over it, is what I'm trying to tell you. It's not something wrong with you because your body has strong desires. Your mind has strong desires for something wrong sometime. But as believers, as our hearts are yielded to God, we cut those things off and realize that's not part of us anymore. That's part of the fallen nature. And even though that may be present with me, that's not me. Me is the spirit. Me is the man that's new. Me is the man that has the want to and the love of God and the power of God and the life of God and the righteousness of God and eternal life on the inside. He's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. And then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. In other words, when lust has conceived, in other words, when we stop renewing our mind and we stop doing, we stop mortifying the deeds of our flesh, guess what happens? Sin happens. And when sin continues, it's finished, it brings forth death. Satan, we must understand, Satan uses our flesh against us. That means he works against us through these two primary ways, our unrenewed minds. In other words, what does he do? He uses thoughts. He uses suggestions. He uses pictures. He uses imaginations. He uses strong emotions. If they're left unchecked, and not cast down, rejected, or destroyed, then Satan gains a foothold. In our flesh, through our unrenewed mind. That's how it works. He uses our own unrenewed minds against us. He does it with the temptations, but he does it through those thoughts, those very things I talked about there. But he comes against our flesh. He uses our own flesh against us because he knows God said in order to win, we have to renew our mind. We can't let our mind just coast or be a neutral. See, case in point, you got a cars, you can put it in neutral. I know most of us, but the point is, if it's in neutral, you can push it and you can go in either direction, forward or backward. You say, well, mine's got a clutch, Pastor Chris. You know what I'm saying. Okay, so regardless, you can move it. So what God is saying, we have to put our minds in gear. Line them with his word so that the things that Satan uses against us, we recognize that's not my thought. I don't take that thought. I don't take that thought. Notice it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here's everybody say every thought. So here's where a lot of times Christians get freaked out. They say, oh my God, that's my thought. And that was a bad thought. Oh, God, that was a bad thought. Well, God knows it's a bad thought. But where did the thought come from? It more than likely came from Satan. Well, here's where a lot of Christians get freaked out. They said, oh, I thought a bad thought. Now, the thought is wrong, but it's what you do with the thought that counts. A thought unspoken dies unborn. A thought unacted on dies unborn. But what we're to do is resist it. And the point I'm making, whether it don't make any difference, it says cast it down and bring in every thought. That means the devil's thought or your thought. It don't make no difference whose thought or where the thought originated from. Most of them are going to originate from the devil. But even if it originated from your own mind, God just said, cast it down, destroy it, put it under the word of God, under the feet of Jesus Christ, and there's no problem. You don't have to be condemned by it. You went over it. You can laugh at it, say, ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 devil, I don't, that's not my thought. I'm not taking that thought. I'm not taking it. If you ain't acting on it, you ain't taking it. Amen. He uses our flesh against us. You see, he works against us through our unrenewed minds. But he also uses our bodies. In other words, our own natural feelings. Because we all got feelings. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Okay, so we have emotions in our soul that triggers feelings. And you can, you know, I don't have to tell you, your body has feelings. If you don't think so, slap your neighbor. And after they slap you back, you'll find out that it's real on both sides. You understand? Now, don't do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, this is why the Bible calls it the flesh, meaning in the natural, fleshly, the natural man is called the carnal man, is actually called, in some translations, animal appetites. It means to be body ruled. So in other words, what that means is your flesh can't be trusted. And the deeds of it that it wants to do, that it once did before you were saved, your spirit. See, before you didn't have power over that. You could say no, but really because you had the wrong nature, your wrong nature caused you to yield to this. But now that you got the right nature, you got the power over what the body of sin wants to do or can do. You got power over it. Hallelujah. This is why Paul, we can put this up, or you can turn there. This wasn't a scripture in there. I quoted it earlier, but 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll just turn that together. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we almost finished. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul said, Paul had to do this, then you better be counting on that you and I have to do this. Come on, he wrote over half the New Testament, and he says, but I keep under my body. I is spirit. Body is flesh. He says, I keep under my body. One translation says, I discipline my body. I treat it hard. I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection. One translation says, and I make it my slave. Another translation says, I subdue it. I make it obey me, my spirit. Lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That means disqualified. In other words, Paul said, lest I find myself not practicing what I'm preaching. That's what he's saying. So he had to do something with his body. We're going to have to do something with the body. So addressing the flesh by faith in God's word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, well, we have to understand, I'm going to say that again, addressing the flesh by faith in God's word and by the power of the Holy Spirit is a major theme and teaching in the New Testament that we must understand. If we're going to walk in victory. Now let's finish tonight with these two portions of the scripture. I didn't think we'd get there, but we've gotten there. You've listened fast. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 6. Amen. Almost as fast as I talk. Praise the Lord. So Romans chapter 6, look here, and we're going to look at a portion of scripture here. We're going to begin with verse 6. Paul said, knowing this, you should know this. You should know this as this is why many young believers and old believers alike are frustrated, confused, and defeated because they don't know this. Knowing this, that our old man, you could say it like this, our old self. Who's the old man who you used to be? The old spirit man. The old man is the old you before you got saved. It ain't your flesh. It's the old fallen nature on the inside. The old man on the inside. That our old man is crucified, or really the Greek says was crucified, has died with Christ so that our body of sin might be destroyed or have no power over us. So in other words, because something changed on the inside, he said, you should know you can do something about the outside. That's what Paul is saying. Do you see that? Knowing this, that our old man, the old life that was on the inside of your spirit, was that old spirit man has been crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed or have no power over us, that henceforth we should not serve sin. One translation says, we would not be slaves to sin. In other words, we're not controlled by our body anymore. We're not controlled by the sin nature in this body because we have a righteous nature on the inside that we live by. Verse 7 says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. One translation said, anyone who has died is made free from sin's control. That's what he wants you to know. The man on the inside has died, but you got a new man. This is why sin doesn't have to control you anymore, your flesh anymore. And this is why we're exhorted in verse 11. Notice, verse 11, likewise reckon. In other words, when it says likewise, or it means in the same way. The word reckon is an accounting term, means take this into account. Likewise reckon, or in the same way, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Woo! One translation says that you're dead to the power of sin and alive with God through Jesus Christ. Reckon yourself. Count this fact as true, that yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. Your inner man don't want to sin. Your inner man don't want to sin. Your inner man got the want to, the life, and the nature of God. That's why we got to live from the inside. And what he's saying is, that part gives us power to say no to the sin in the flesh. Power over that. Reckon it. Reckon it. Reckon that you also selves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice what verse 12 and 13 says. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. One translation says, so don't let sin control your life. You don't let sin control your life. You don't let sin. Well, I can't help myself. You don't let sin control. The reason why we can't help ourselves is because we don't know who we are. We don't know what we have. Our minds aren't renewed yet. Because it says, you don't let sin reign in your mortal body. You don't. Your spirit has to be strong and say, no, I don't let sin reign in my mortal body. I don't let it fornicate. I don't let it adulterize. I don't let it do all the other stuff that it wants to do. So that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Notice, so that you do what, so that you don't do what your sinful self wants to do. One translation says, your body's evil craving. So your body has, Paul said, your body has some evil cravings in it. It can still want to do some wrong things. Pastor Chris, I didn't know that. Oh, you mean there's not something matter with me? No, there's something right with you. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Verse 13, neither yield, that means serve or obey, neither yield your members its instruments of unrighteousness. What are your members? Here's your members. Your hands, your eyes, your feet, your tongue. Come on. The parts of your body that can sin. You don't let your beady eyes look at what it don't supposed to be looking at. You don't let your hands touch what don't belong to you. And you keep your tongue in your mouth. Hallelujah. And control what you would say. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those who are alive from the dead. Woo! And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I love what one translation says. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. It says, neither serve or obey your members as instruments of righteousness. One translation says, but yield yourself. You must immediately present yourself to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness at the disposal of God. This word instrument means actually a weapon. So it's a tool you use to win over the flesh because you're doing the right thing. So in other words, here's where we miss it at so much. And I'm going to stop right here. Here's where we miss it at. We're too conscious of what we can't do. In other words, all right, I know I don't suppose to do that. I don't suppose to do this. I don't suppose to do that. Well, all that's correct. But you don't win over it by just knowing what you don't suppose to do. He's saying this. Here's how you win over it. You know what's happened on the inside. And then you start using this body to do the things that God told you to do with it. If we would get more busy instead of what not to do, then we know the things not to do. To start doing with your body the things that we're designed to do, like win the lost, pray, go to church, amen, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. If we would use our bodies to win the lost, disciple others, pray, do the word of God. Come on, if we would use our bodies for that, we wouldn't have to ask ourselves, oh, I can't do that, I can't do that. We'd be too busy doing what we're supposed to be doing than what we don't supposed to be doing, knocking on that door and trying to control us. Hallelujah. All right, one more verse and we're finished, really. All right, Romans 13. Here's what it says. Romans 13, 14. Here's what it says. It says, but you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to put him on. In other words, when you put on the new man, when it tells us in Colossians, if you put on the new man is the man on the inside, the man of Christ, the man of the new nature on the inside. But it tells us here, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on, put him on, put him on. In other words, you know that's who you are. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, if we put on Christ and live for Him, we cut off the parts of the flesh that try to control us. Another translation says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings of the physical nature to gratify its desires. In other words, it goes right back to this. The reason your body wants to do wrong is because your mind is in the ditch. If we can keep our mind in the right place, when our body starts to show up trying to get us off, we say, no, 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 no. That's not my thought. That's not where I go. I'm holy. I'm righteous. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm consecrated to God. And those things are on the altar. They're dead. They're dead. They're dead. They're dead. I reckon myself dead unto sin, but alive to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope I helped you tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is so valuable and so important. And I would say, dare say, that the part about, thank you, Brother Ryan, the part about not understanding spirit, soul, and body, and not understanding how to win over the flesh, and there's not something wrong with you because we have a spirit that is saved, but our mind is being saved, and our body will be saved, and you and I have to do something with our minds and our bodies, and we do it through the real you and I, through our spirits. And when we know that, we don't let all the other stuff freak us out, like there's something wrong with us. There's not something wrong with us. God didn't make no mistake. This shows you the damage that came to this earth through the fall of man. The fallen nature and the curse of man. The curse on this earth that resulted in man's sin, rather. The good news is Jesus came to redeem us. And matter of fact, he said, the scripture says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Spiritual death. For spiritual death have eternal life. From there you can get anywhere. For poverty we have wealth. For sickness and disease we have health. So everything comes from the inside out. Because with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Lord, we thank you tonight. Just begin to worship him and thank him tonight. Thank him that you're free. Hallelujah. For whom the Son is set free is free indeed, completely liberated. Lord, we love you and we thank you tonight. I thank you for the wonderful people in this room. I thank you that they win the victory. Now, thanks be unto God, which causes us to triumph in Christ. Lord, the Paul said it like this, the evil is always present with me. We just have to realize that. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we yield ourselves to God. We yield as members, as instruments of righteousness at the disposal of God. We do the right thing with our bodies, with our hands, with our eyes, with our mind, with our feet, with our mouths. And Lord, we thank you that your word tells us there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Father, thank you that you're helping your people to win over the flesh, the world, and the devil. And we give you the praise and give you the glory for it now. I thank you for the people here and the people online, Lord. I speak your peace, your protection, your provision, and your power over and your victory in Jesus' name. Now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians praying tonight.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.